What is my intro? God, we have not done a
That
whole
is a
lot.
great fucking question, because I
We've
was
not.
just thinking, I was just, my brain just went, okay, yeah, and now Blue's going to say, shit, what?
It's hello and welcome back to Cape Corner, where we explore the history, story, and cultural impact of a different character or group every episode. Okay, once I started it like just came like the
Yeah,
rest.
you got the muscle memory once you can find the starting place.
It's like how people are like, oh, I'm just a vessel. God was acting through me, except it's the Cape Corner intro.
Yeah. You're just a vessel previous you is acting through right now.
know what? Okay. There's this very stupid and yet like mildly ingenious thing that I used to do where I'd be like, I can't time travel, but I can communicate through time if I just greet myself through time. So like I just randomly used to be like, hi, future me, and then like months later I'd be like, oh yeah, hi, past me.
It's like you occasionally just kind of remember.
Yeah, and I'd be like, technically, if you go by fourth dimensional, okay, sorry, not to immediately go off on a tangent, but I'm currently working at a fucking Hardee's. You know, I'm a fast food pleb, and a few weeks ago, there was a couple of old people out in the lobby, sitting at one of the tables. They were talking about some sort of device that they saw an infomercial for or something that's supposed to ionize your water, and
Okay.
they were trying to discuss what ionization is, and I was wiping tables and I couldn't keep my mouth shut, and so I started explaining ionization to them, where like the electrons from one atom will pass to another, thus changing the charge of both of them. And they were like, oh, okay, that sounds great. And then I walked away, and then another guy at another table was like, excuse me, were you just explaining ionization to those people? And I was like, yeah, I was. And he was like, do you know other science stuff? And I'm like, I mean, it depends on the science. He was like, do you know about black holes? And I was like, yes, I do dabble in that. I do dabble in theoretical astrophysics, actually. And so he started asking me what my opinions were on the realistic probability of being able to achieve time travel. And I was like, well, time travel to the past wouldn't technically be possible, especially if you're going by fourth dimensional theory that all of time is set in stone and that it's all already happened, but we are only experiencing it moment to moment because we can only like perceive one moment at a time, right? Okay, like imagine like you have a cup and you got it's condensating, so there's like a drop of water on the outside of it, right? And like the entire cup is already there, right? But a drop of water experiencing gravity can only travel down the cup at its own pace, and it can only be attached to one part of that cup at a time. So as far as that drop of water is aware, there is only one part of that cup at a time, but the whole cup's really there. And that's kind of the idea of how we experience time, where like it's all already happened, but we can only experience one point of time at a time. So we consider it as moving forward when it's not really moving at all. And then I was like, but if you want to get into like how extreme gravity, like a black hole, could bend time, technically it would be more akin to time dilation than actual time travel, which you could realistically already achieve that effect with cryogenic freezing, because it's really you just wait on the future. And I'm saying all this, and then I look across the table at, I don't know if it was this guy's dad or what, but he was an older dude, and he just is staring at me, and he goes, Chris. Because he sees my name tag. He goes, why are you working at a Hardee's? And I said, because
That's
people don't think
great.
you're smart if you haven't been to college.
Yeah, fair. That's true.
I definitely didn't mean to dox myself again just now, but again, people long time know my name, so it's fine.
Yeah, who cares?
But yeah.
That's really funny. And true. And a sad thing about the world.
It's very frustrating because it's like I would love to be able to like I feel like there are professionals that would. I'm not claiming to be a fucking super genius or the next Einstein or anything, but I feel like just having people who are relatively intelligent in certain fields, having their input and being able to debate and bounce ideas back and forth with them is considered very valuable in scientific fields. So I'm sure there would be people that look at me and be like, oh, it's wasted potential that you're working shitty jobs and barely able to live when you could be doing so much more. And to that I say, I agree. Let's fucking change the way we look at intelligence in this country, because a college degree does not make you intelligent, and a lack of it does not make you stupid. Okay, but yeah, so sorry. And again, none of that was me trying to flex. It's just like, I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Because I do find that stuff interesting.
Man, the fourth dimension is interesting shit.
It is. And you know what? Honestly, big shout out to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because, like, I
knew a little... Fitz's explanation of the fourth dimension is one of the most concrete, like, easy to follow. Like, they nailed it. Anyone who's ever been confused about that view of time, it's just, you just watch that scene, he nails it.
Like, I knew generally what the idea of fourth dimensional theory was prior to that scene, but yeah, I still had trouble wrapping my head around it completely, but watching it, I was like, oh, that just made it way clearer for me.
Yeah.
Anyone who says that superhero media is mindless drivel, you need to watch Peak. And speaking of watching Peak, okay, let's go on the topic of today's episode. So recently Akira Toriyama passed away, and I will readily admit I cried very hard. He was, I don't like, okay, we've talked about the passing of other childhood heroes here, right? Like,
yeah, because last year and the year before were kind of rough for that, in particular. Yeah,
it's been a rough few years for my childhood. Yeah, Kevin Conroy and
we're Jason reaching Big the Frank. Age where the people we grew up idolizing are getting pretty old.
But no, well, what's crazy is that they're not though. Like
all that is true.
Fairly young. True. Jason David Frank, especially Kevin Conroy, to a lesser. Yeah. And Akira Toriyama was only 68.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like, I mean, sure, that's old, but it's not death old, you know?
Yeah, it's not what you'd expect.
No. I mean, you want to get technical, any age is death old, but you get what I mean. Like,
yeah,
like dying of natural causes, you don't typically expect that.
Yeah, you wouldn't think.
But
was this natural causes? Do we know how?
Yeah, I saw what the press release said. It was some kind of I don't know. It was like a heart thing or something. I can't remember. I'm gonna be honest. I was too distressed to like really be able to
wrap. Yeah, my that makes sense.
And but like part of the reason I was so distressed is because while Jason David Frank, you know, was important and Kevin Conroy was important, Kevin Conroy was not the sole Batman. And Jason David Frank was not the sole Power Ranger. I feel like while they affected my life, I wouldn't be a radically different person without their influence. But Akira Toriyama, I would literally be a different person if it wasn't for him.
Wow.
Like, I was 6 years old when I started watching Dragon Ball. Yes, I think I was 6 years, 5 or 6. I was very young. Like,
yeah, that's early.
I still didn't fully understand what the world was around me, but I had my routine. Every day I would come home from school. I would try to do as much of my homework early as I could. 5 o'clock, Toonami came on. At 5 o'clock, they started playing Sailor Moon. And I would sit through a half hour of Sailor Moon because at 5:30 they played Dragon Ball Z. And And I immediately identified with Gohan because in a show full of what seemed like super old grown-ups, but apparently Goku is only like 23 at the start of the show.
Oh, wow. That's, yeah, I would not have thought that.
Yeah. Well, he was 18 at the end of Dragon Ball, give or take. And then 5 years passed. So, yeah, he's about 23 at the start of Dragon Ball Z. Yeah, like Gohan was the only little kid. And I was a little boy. So I was like, oh, he's like me. And like a lot of people are like, Goku taught me, you know, to always push my limits and care for my friends. And like they're professional bodybuilders that have like tattoos of Goku and shit. Like, like he is their idol. But for me, characters like Vegeta and Gohan mattered a lot more.
Sure.
Vegeta taught me that even if I've been a bad person, which I have dabbled in that, I'm not locked into that forever. I can still redeem myself.
Yeah, that's an important thing to know.
Yeah. And Vegeta did some fucked up shit. He blew up planets. He slaughtered civilizations of innocent people.
Oh, damn.
It's like, you know what's really funny is that people criticize Steven Universe for being like, how could they forgive the Diamonds who did a space fascism? They're basically Hitler. And meanwhile, I'm just looking at Vegeta, one of the most beloved anime characters of all time, and being like, he's kind of worse than Hitler, though.
Oof.
And yet we're like, yeah, he's a good guy now. It's fine.
The hell of a redemption arc.
He did a funny dance on a stage and was embarrassed, but he did it to save his wife, and so he's a good person. But yeah, so Vegeta helped me get that in my mind, and that was important because, again, I was not kind as a kid. Sure. And Gohan taught me, oh, hey, my schedule came in. That's nice. I can look at that later. Gohan, okay, this is going to be a very roundabout explanation. Bear with me. I'm sure I've mentioned probably multiple times on here that I have, I'm not like those other millennials who have mommy issues or daddy issues. I have both.
Nice.
I'm really killing it in the parental trauma game. But I have issues with both my parents, right? Like neither one was very good. I was neglected and just fucking abandoned by them, and it was bad shit. And growing up, I kind of already had the feeling that my parents sucked, and that got very much confirmed to me as I got older. So, as the years went on, and I was growing up, and I was continuing to watch Dragon Ball Z, and I'm watching Gohan grow up, the Cell Games arc comes around, and Goku has already been a Super Saiyan. He's the big hero. Everything is always okay when he shows up, because he always shows up at the last minute to save everyone and beat the bad guy, and everyone expects Goku to always be that. And Gohan is just his little kid that needs to be saved by his dad, occasionally has bursts of big power, but never really does anything with it. And this big monster Cell, worse than anything they've ever fought before, shows up. And Goku steps in the ring to fight him, and you expect it to end the same way. But Goku stops and he goes, okay, I can't beat this guy. Gohan, it's your turn to stop him. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? Gohan's a little kid, and he's weak, and he's not like you, Goku. And Goku's like, you're right. He's not like me. He's better than me. And questionable parenting aside, it does prove to be true. Gohan, who at this point has also achieved the Super Saiyan form, winds up unlocking Super Saiyan 2. a new form that nobody else, not even Goku, has achieved. He is the first person possibly in all of history to do it. Like, we know Goku isn't the first Super Saiyan. Like, there's a legend of the Super Saiyan in the lore of the story. And there's also, like, a Super Saiyan God at some point millennia ago. But we don't know if anyone actually, like, advanced the levels of basic Super Saiyan before Gohan. So, yeah, Gohan achieved this new form, and he wound up beating the guy that his dad couldn't beat, and the torch got passed on to him. And, of course, as a kid, I'm thinking, oh, that's really cool. It's my guy. It's my goat. It's my dude. It's Gohan. He's the best. And and he would remain the best for, like, a year until they just made Goku the main character again, and then it was just the Goku show for the next 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, until finally Gohan got to be the main character again in the new movie that came out, like, last year. Or, like, a year and a half ago. But, So you might go, okay, what does all this have to do with, like, a big life lesson and those parental trauma issues you mentioned? And it's very simply learning that you can surpass your parents. You can go beyond them. I feel like a lot of times we tend to look at big, important historical figures of the past and be like, they're the peak of humanity. They're the peak of, whether it's manliness and strength, like Celtic berserkers and warriors and Spartans on the battlefield or whatever, or like you look at the peak of morality, like Abraham Lincoln or whatever, or you look at the peak of intelligence, like Albert Einstein. But then we have to remember, because we might think, like, they were the best, no one will ever be that good again, which is what leads to conservative thinking, that we should go back to traditional ideals and values because that was absolutely the best that humanity will ever get, and things have only gotten worse, which is an extremely negative and pathetic way of thinking.
Yep.
But the truth is, we're always advancing, we're always progressing, and when you look at things from an unbiased perspective, the average person today is probably closer in terms of physicality and intelligence and morality and stuff like that, is probably closer to the heroes of the past than they are to the average people of the past.
Yeah.
Like, the bar is constantly, very slowly and subtly being raised. Now, that's not to say that some things don't get worse.
Yep.
There are definitely things in today's life that have gotten worse. The economy, am I right? but there are also things that get better. And I feel like we're so fucking pessimistic, and we don't always acknowledge that there are things that are improving, and we as people tend to improve. It's the idea that we stand on the shoulders of giants, right? Like, yeah. I'm sure lifting a really heavy stick over and over again was the hardest training that you could do back in the days of being a Spartan, or like getting hit with sticks over and over or something. But compare that to like owning a fucking Peloton or whatever. Like, because technology and everything has advanced, the human physicality has also advanced, and strong men of today just completely blow strong men of yesteryear out of the water. And the same can be said for science. Again, the fact that I fucking use the phrase standing on the shoulders of giants comes from Stephen Hawking. Who himself based a lot of his ideas on Albert Einstein, who I mentioned. And it, whether it's any aspect of life, we can do better than the generations of the past because we can use what they've done. Like, they may be dead and gone, but their achievements aren't. And in that way, they kind of live on through us. Like, that's their legacy, right? So, I don't know. Somewhere in my subconscious, like, it triggered this idea when I watched Gohan surpass his father that, like, I wasn't limited to maybe one day I can be as good, quote-unquote, as my parents. No, like, that's not the limit. I don't have to be limited to what they did. I didn't have to be trapped to be, like, the kind of person that they were. And that was a big fear of mine, because especially with the amount of fights I got into, like, something I heard from my mom a lot was, like, when you're angry, you seem a lot like your dad.
Interesting.
And I didn't like that.
No, it's not great.
No, but while I still have impressive anger issues, I have more impressive control these days and restraint. And that was not easy to achieve. And it's something that I don't think my father ever completely achieved. So I'm proud to say that Dragon Ball sort of helped give me hope for the future in a way that most people might not expect. For an anime about screaming and getting your hair to get really long to punch a bad guy better.
Yeah.
And sometimes shoot a laser.
I feel like that's a really important thing, the deceptive depth of some of these things, because, you know, the way you reframed that made me think of, like, if you reframe Captain America, my personal like emotional role model is like
a guy with a frisbee punches Hitler in the nose.
Yeah, dude with frisbee wrapped in an American flag.
Yes.
Punching people. It's like, Oh no, it's more than that.
Because that's the thing, right? That's what people say Dragon Ball is, and that they're like, it has no depth. And it's like, no, it's actually incredibly nuanced, and like, there's so much. There's so fucking much. It's hard. The reason that people think it's got nothing is because fans don't know how to convey how much there is to people who haven't watched it. They're like, you just have to watch it yourself, because there's so much heart, and there's so much comedy, and there's so much drama and tension, and there's so much excitement and passion. It's just everything. Have you ever seen the new old Karate Kid movie from like 2011?
Yes. Is there a new Karate Kid movie?
Probably. I don't fucking know. I just know that it's like me. It's new compared to the original, but it's old because
it's a ways back now.
But where Jackie Chan is like, everything is kung fu.
Yeah.
It's like everything is Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Or Dragon Ball everything, rather. Like, it just spans so much, and it's like people love the characters, and like, legitimately, some of the most beloved shit from Dragon Ball is just seeing the characters when there's no world-ending threat, just all having a party with each other or like chilling out.
That's fun. I love that kind of stuff.
Because it's like you feel, you know, the effect where like soldiers form a bond in the crucible of conflict.
Oh yeah.
It's like you feel that with the characters, even though you've only watched their conflict, and so when they're able to chill out, you feel like you're sitting at the table watching Goku pig out, watching Vegeta yell at him, watching Krillin laugh nervously. Like, you feel like they're family almost. I guess that's probably why his passing hit me so much, is because like I never met Akira Toriyama, but he felt almost like a father figure because he created these characters that taught me so much.
That's cool.
And I don't just want to focus solely on Dragon Ball. I wanted to take a moment to share some of the other works that he made because he is an absolute powerhouse in terms of influencing the anime community. From the fact that fucking Naruto and Sasuke from Naruto are literally designed to look like Goku and Vegeta. Although I did more recently find out that Sasuke is almost a one-for-one copy of a character called Kurapika from Hunter x Hunter. Literally, it's like I'm the last of my clan. My clan was all slaughtered, and we all have our eyes turn red when we get emotional. And I want to kill the people that killed my clan. Like, that's literally both of those characters. But yeah, or the fact that Luffy from One Piece, everyone knows fucking One Piece these days, but again, the reason he wore a red vest is because it was similar. He had a red vest and blue jean shorts because Goku's colors are orange and blue, and it was similar to that. Fucking Kids Next Door has a Dragon Ball Z parody in it. Like, there's an episode where it's like all the different kids were like describing what they did when they were by themselves or something. And I just remember number four, the Australian one, like retold the story of him fighting the delightful children from the down the lane, which is one of their big foes. And the delightful children took the form of Frieza, and he was like Goku. But yeah, he influenced a lot, and I would love to be like his first thing is Dr. Slump. Technically, his first work was not Dr. Slump. He did a couple of other things. I think there was one that was like Tomato the Hot Police Woman or some shit like that.
Okay.
It was like the entire gimmick was that it was just an incredibly attractive girl who's now new to the police force, and the entire joke was all of the guys just going unga bunga, oh she hot. And her being kind of ditzy about it, and it was like shit like that. But like, yeah, Dr. Slump is the first big one that a lot of people know of. Have you ever heard of Dr. Slump?
I have not.
It was purely a comedy series. It was about a first of all, the entire world is on drugs. It's just nothing makes sense. There's like multiple scenes where like it looks like a fly lands on someone, and like it super zooms into the fly, and it turns out it's a tiny guy in a fly costume. There's like these two little alien fairy dudes, the Gotchins, I think. But the main thing centers around this like scientist dude who invents a robot called Arale, and Arale looks like a little girl, and she's really happy and stupid and excitable, and she's fascinated with poop. And at one point, she karate chops the earth in half, and it's fine. Don't think about it. And so she actually has had multiple crossovers with Dragon Ball. Like in the original Dragon Ball, Goku accidentally landed in, I can't remember what the fucking town is, but it's whatever the town from Dr. Slump is. And he met Arale. And then in Dragon Ball Super, we had a short filler episode where Arale showed up again, and Vegeta tried to fight her, and she started beating him. Bear in mind, this man has the power of literal gods at this point. And he says, with utmost sincerity, oh no, she has the power of a gag manga character. I don't know if I'm going to be able to beat her. Because it's like the idea of like who would win in a fight between the Hulk and like Bugs Bunny.
That's funny.
Like, it's like, I don't know who would. If it would be funny, I think that Bugs Bunny would win, right? So.
Yeah, no, yeah, he would. I remember seeing once one of my favorite posts that's ever been on the internet was someone was saying that if Bugs Bunny was at the Battle of Wakanda, the Avengers would have won. And it shows that Thanos steps through the portal with the Infinity Gauntlet, and Bugs Bunny is standing there in a TSA uniform with a metal detector, being like, "You gotta take that gauntlet off if you want to get through." And Thanos is like bewildered, turns around. There's a long line of hundreds of Bugs Bunnies in various costumes, looking annoyed and tapping their feet and checking their watches. And he like is sweating and nervously takes off the gauntlet to get It's like, yeah. If Bugs is there and it would be funny, then Bugs wins.
Yeah, exactly. You can't. It's like, and I've seen people be like, "Oh, so see, this is why Luffy would be Goku because he uses Looney Tunes shit." Because, and it's like, shut the fuck up! It is not the same thing. He has the power to like cartoonify and rubberize shit nowadays, but that's not the same thing as being in a gag manga. It's still supposed to be cool and impressive that he does those things, so you can apply
The
theory.
Toon Force is unbeatable.
Yeah, which is why this is secretly a backdoor episode for how the Toon Monsters from Yu-Gi-Oh! Are the best. I don't know if you know that. There is an entire archetype of cartoon versions of monsters.
Oh, that's fun.
And the creator of the game in the lore uses them.
That's great.
Yeah, Pegasus. He's a menace, and he's great. I love him. He's also one of the most gay characters in anime. Without ever, it's like technically he's straight, I guess. He married a woman, but I don't know, man. Something about the way he has that frilly collar. All right. Anyway, so yeah, Dr. Slump was a big one. One that I feel like nobody knows about, and I have to mention it because I actually got to read a chapter of it from an issue of Shonen Jump I had as a kid, is called Sandland. Sandland is, it takes place in a large desert area. You have a general who rides around in a tank, and the dude straight up just looks like Nappa from Dragon Ball Z. But the main character is Beelzebub, the son of the devil. He's just a little imp dude who rides around with this general, getting into and out of different kinds of shenanigans. By the way, his father in the manga, his design would later inspire Deborah, who is the king of the demon realm in Dragon Ball Z. They look almost exactly the same.
Interesting.
Yeah. One that most fans of JRPGs know, though, Chrono Trigger. Have you heard of this game?
I have not.
You haven't heard of Chrono Trigger? What the fuck?
No, man, I've got like, see, I fall into my little pockets of nerd fandom and I never leave.
Okay. I know, like, I'm always telling you, like, oh, you should check this out. And you're like, yeah. And then you never do. But, like, genuinely, Chrono Trigger is something that you should play at some point. Like, it's very easy to emulate these days because it's like a Super Nintendo game or something.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's pretty old, but it's so fucking charming. At the very least, you gotta, like, look at some gameplay of
Is
it.
this one of those things I need one of those newfangled computers to play?
I think you can emulate it on your phone.
Oh, maybe that'll work.
At the very least, look up like the Chrono Trigger opening when we get done here. And you will be able to tell that all the character designs are designed by Akira Toriyama very
Oh,
easily.
cool. Yeah,
Chrono
I'm looking at pictures here, and yeah.
Chrono straight up has Goku's hair, so it's like, yeah.
Yes, he does.
Also, my boy Frog. His name is literally just Frog. He's one of the coldest fucking... His name is... He's one of the coldest companion characters in an RPG ever. Like, you look at him and you're like, this dude's a fucking goober. And then you spend 0.5 seconds with him in the game. And you're like, this guy's a fucking... Like, he's so cool. I want to be him. He's got the stuff, man. I don't know what to tell you. Frog is awesome. He is to Chrono Trigger what Trunks is to Dragon Ball. He just shows up and he's immediately the coolest fucking guy. I've also noticed that Toriyama does have a thing for the same kind of women that I do, which is to say, like, badass wild women that could probably beat the shit out of me. Because there's one of those in Chrono Trigger. And then there's another one in Blue Dragon, which was a game I always wanted to play as a teenager, but it was only for the Xbox. And so I couldn't. But they did have a very short-lived anime series of Blue Dragon to accompany the game. Oh. And Blue Dragon, it was basically like, there was a book that I read growing up where called The Seventh Tower, where everyone had shadow guardians. Like, their shadow was a sentient being that was bound to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like that, or it's like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, or it's like Persona. You have a fucking being that you summon behind you, and it does shit. So everyone, or not everyone, but people in this world can have these, like, their shadows manifest as different mythical beings, usually animals. Excuse me. Like, the big experienced person in the game is this pirate woman. I think her name is Zola. She is hot. She's cool. But I think hers is a bat. There's, like, someone who has, like, a boar. And, you know, like, different, like, animals like that. But Shu, I believe, is his name. I hope I'm not confusing him for the fucking dog from Dragon Ball from the Pilaf Gang. Because his name is definitely Shu. I think they're both named Shu. Anyway, the point is, the little ponytail kid from Blue Dragon, his shadow is, in fact, a dragon. It's a big-ass blue dragon, and it's crazy powerful, and he can't control it. And so a lot of his journey is trying to learn to control his own power and stuff like that. But... Yeah, that was another work. That's, again, one that I don't hear anybody talk about, and I truly believe that it's because they made that game a fucking Xbox exclusive. Look, they need to understand, PlayStation is where you go when you want to play nerdy shit like the anime games.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox is where you go when you want to feel like you're a cool dude not in the middle of a midlife crisis. Because it's like, I want to feel like I'm playing sports, so I'll play 2K or Madden or whatever, but I'm going to do it on a video game. Again, I don't know, maybe I'm just like a Sigma male shit or whatever the newest big one is. I don't fucking know, they keep changing that shit. But like, I'm able to play video games and also sports. So if I want to do a sport, I'll just play a fucking sport. If I want to play football, get some people together and I'll play football. I don't need to do it on a video game. I don't need video games to mimic things I can do in real life. Driving a car, honk, snore, fucking boring, but driving a car specifically into traffic to create chain reaction explosions like in Burnout 3, that shit's great. Driving a car to play soccer like Rocket League, that shit's awesome. I don't need to do normal people shit in my video games. Okay, I said Chrono Trigger. Oh, Dragon Quest is the obvious one that I haven't said yet in terms of his video game contributions. I think I've played like an hour of a Dragon Quest game once. It seems fine. It's not one of those that I've ever gotten into. But he did wind up revolutionizing how people look at slimes in media. I'm sure even you have seen the Dragon Quest slime.
I think so.
He's a little teardrop guy with a big old happy face.
Yes, I have seen that.
Because slimes used to be seen as like any other Dungeons and Dragons kind of monster where they're like a horrifying beast that... And then Dragon Quest comes around and it's just like, oh, he's just a little guy. He's only got 4 HP. Don't be mean to him. That changed the perspective of slimes so much that there is an anime that's an isekai that's called That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime. Where the entire plot is the main character dies, gets reincarnated in a video game world as a slime, and does not want to be one shot by a somewhat competent adventurer. So he tries to figure out how to get strong as a slime. Which is such a great concept. I haven't watched that anime, but I genuinely love that idea.
Yeah, that's fun.
I might actually start watching it now that I say that. I'm currently watching Hunter x Hunter, so Dragon Quest, it's got a lot of games, so I know it does very well, especially in Japan. Japan really likes high fantasy settings more than we do in America. It's very funny because in the 70s and 80s we were all into high fantasy, and then we just fell off. And Japan was like, no, this shit's really cool. Let's make Final Fantasy. And then just keep making a million more Final Fantasy games.
My God.
Yeah. 16 came out recently. And that would already be impressive if there was only 16 games. There's way more than 16 games, though. There's
Final Fantasy 2,
there's Final Fantasy 7 Remake and Rebirth. If you count the movies, there's Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. You've got Final Fantasy 15, the mobile game thing. There's Final Fantasy Tactics and Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. There's Chocobo Racing. They made a whole game where you just race the chicken guys that you ride on.
Oh my God.
I feel like there's something I'm missing with Akira Toriyama's work. But like he's done so much. Like Jocko the Galactic Patrolman, which is technically a spinoff of Dragon Ball. Anyway, look, I really wanted to take my own time to talk about how influential this man was, to talk about how important his work was. And I also want to say he was a very private man. One of the things I've heard people get confused about is we got the news on March 8th that he passed away. And we learned that he actually passed away on March the 1st.
Oh, wow.
And what had happened was his family wanted to have a quiet funeral, one with just a few close friends and family members. And they knew that if they gave the information that he died, it would be bombed and swarmed with fans. And while those fans may have good intentions, it wasn't Akira Toriyama's style he never tried to be a celebrity, right? He just made stories that he was passionate about and put them out there, And he always seemed very baffled or bewildered at like fan events, like cons. There's famously a story from fans who asked him something about the Super Saiyan 2 form, and he was like, which one is that? Is that the one with the long hair? They're like, no, that's Super Saiyan 3. And they showed him a picture of Super Saiyan 2 Gohan, and they were like, isn't that Super Saiyan? And they were like, no, it's different. And he's like, I can't tell the difference. I don't know what's different about it. Or like, there was another time at a con where someone asked him about Vegito, and he's like, who's that? And they're like, he's the fusion of Vegeta and Goku. He's like, I don't remember. And they're like, he was a massive integral part of the final battle against Majin Buu. There was like 30 chapters with him in it. And he's like, I wrote that like 20 years ago. I don't remember it. The entire reason Launch isn't in Dragon Ball Z is because he forgot she was a character, and she was one of like the main crew in Dragon Ball. Like, he did not mythologize his own work the way the rest of us did. He did not put himself on a pedestal the way the rest of us did. And so I do think it would be keeping with his wishes to just have a normal person funeral with normal friends and family members and not make it a big spectacle or event. In fact, they, in the press release, they actually even said, like, don't even like send flowers to the family members and stuff, please. Like, we know you all care and we appreciate that, but like, there's 10 fucking billion of you out there. Because Dragon Ball is huge worldwide. It's massive in Japan, massive in America, it's super massive in Mexico, Brazil, European countries, like just everywhere, all across the world. And I mean, fuck, dude. Sun Wukong is one of my favorite mythological figures that I know of, and it's only because of fucking Dragon Ball that I know he exists. Infernape is one of my favorite Pokemon because he is the Wukong Pokemon. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned that before, right?
I think so.
He's a martial arts fire monkey, and he's got gold accents on him because he's designed...
Great sentence.
He's designed to be based on the Monkey King, Sun Wukong. He's fucking awesome. I don't even know what else to say. Like, do you have any thoughts on everything that I've said so far? Because I know you're not like a Dragon Ball fan or anything like that.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, it's like I was saying earlier, it's important to talk about how much meaning these things can have for people.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know, I felt like I had so much to say and nobody to really say it to, right? Because if you say it to people that you're not close enough with, it, how do you explain that you're like spiraling with grief over someone that you've never met? So I will say, I did have a lovely moment at the fucking Hardee's I work at with a coworker named Caroline, where the morning when I had woken up to read that news, I went into work and I was distraught. And a couple of people were like asking me, like, you seem upset, Chris, are you okay? And there I go doxing myself again, but whatever. And I was just like trying to explain it to them, and I could tell they didn't quite get it. And so the third person I explained it to was Caroline, and I was like, I know it probably sounds weird for me to be this upset over someone I didn't personally know. And she goes, no, what? That's completely normal. Nobody knew fucking Michael Jackson, but look at how the entire country acted like they were having personal funerals when he died.
Yeah.
And just something about that, I was like, oh yeah, I guess this is a normal thing that people go through. It's just people get weird when it's like someone who makes characters or a show instead of someone who actually like does things themselves, like make music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess that feels a step too removed for them, but I don't know. I've known for a long time that it was this man making all these characters and all these stories that I loved. And it felt like there was an important connection there. And I'm sure, I know that I'm not the only person that feels that way. There's a guy on YouTube called C-Reacts who I normally watch for his funny like Dragon Ball and Yu-Gi-Oh content, but he happened to be live streaming on Twitch when the news came out, and he posted his reaction as a video because he felt it was important in the anime community and the Dragon Ball community, especially for like people to be able to talk about their feelings, like basically being like toxic masculinity is not good for us. And he started crying because he was like, he lost his brother a few months ago, his younger brother. And his brother was such a huge Dragon Ball fan. And so hearing that Akira Toriyama died sort of was like reopening those wounds for him.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's like so many people grew up with Dragon Ball that it's not just the show itself that we have memories and experiences of. It's memories of friends are connected to it. Like, I remember getting on the school bus and excitedly talking with a guy who I barely even spoke about because we just happened to find out that we both watched Dragon Ball Z and Gohan had just started fighting Cell. It was so fucking cool. And like, we wound up forming like a kinship in the span of like 10 minutes talking about the show, or you know, like swapping action figures with my friends. And currently my friend Lou, I've been watching the entire Dragon Ball series from the very, very start for the past like 3 years with him. So it's like it runs deeper than just the show itself. It has given an entire generation of people a new way of thinking morally, a way of building connections with others, a way of pushing past their limits, trying to be the best versions of ourselves. Like, we can boil down Dragon Ball to just being guy with spiky hair changes into different colored spiky hair and goes and shoots a fucking laser beam and rides on a cloud and has a magic stick. And sometimes there's a dragon that grants a wish like a genie, but like it's changed the world. Like, I don't think I'm over-exaggerating when I say that the influence that Akira Toriyama had was worldwide, and it was deep and impactful. And I know we didn't have a fucking Aang episode again, I'm sorry, but I really wanted to talk about this. And Jordan, again, I know that this was another one of those Blue fucking tells you about a thing for an hour.
And those episode. Work.
Yeah.
It basically goes back to the beginning of your show when you were doing it by yourself, but you get to be aware that you're saying it directly to a person. I think that improves it.
It does, because I will say it's hard to just talk to the void of my camera.
Yeah.
It did feel very stilted those first, like, what, 6 episodes? So...
Dude, we've been doing this shit for a long time.
Yeah.
It's just now setting in. That was like summer of 21.
Yeah, it's been about 3 years now.
Oh man.
We need to do a Fandom Optimist. I haven't joined you on Fandom Optimist in a while.
Yeah, that's true. We got to do a Fandom Optimist. I've got so many things on a backlog, and I'll send you a list of everything that I've been meaning to talk about for the last like 5 months. You just pick whatever you want.
You've been a busy man. The boy's getting married.
That's true. That's a large part of why that has consumed a lot of weekends recently. So,
I can't even fucking talk about Dragon Ball Z abridged references with you because you haven't fucking seen it. At the very least, you need to watch Dragon Ball Z abridged. But like, there's just a bit in there where they got those like shock jock radio announcers like. Welcome back to DJ and the Wombat, Wombat, Wombat. Me so horny. or I think it was like TJ and the Wombat, but it was like, there's just a bit where it's like, Wombat's getting married. and they like start playing the wedding march, but cut it out with a fucking sound effect. And then it's like, that's right, except my beautiful fiance is in Nikki Town where Cell has recently attacked, so she's almost certainly dead. And
fucking, oh my god.
It fucking does the funeral march again, cut off by a fucking god. And it's like, but you know what that means? I'm single again. And then just cut to an Austin Powers sound clip of, oh, behave.
That's sheer chaos.
Anyway, all that to say, when I was like, the boy is getting married, I thought of the fucking sound clip. Yeah, I talked about all the influence that Akira Toriyama had, and I didn't even mention Dragon Ball Abridged, which is its own can of worms. it's just like, people have literally launched entire internet-based careers and become legitimate voice actors because they were parodying Akira Toriyama's work in a really well-done way.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, well, we can go ahead and start wrapping up. I got to see if I work tomorrow. I probably do. So, everybody. I tried to keep the energy up a little bit, but I definitely almost started like breaking a couple times there.
It's a somber thing.
It is. But you know, Akira Toriyama always wanted to make people smile and laugh. A lot of his later works with Dragon Ball Z became a lot more serious, intense, and dramatic. But his roots was in making comedy in gag manga, and even with Dragon Ball Super, you know, one of the biggest criticisms Super gets is that it's too goofy sometimes. And it's like, but that's what he likes. That's what he wanted. That's what Dragon Ball started as. Even Dragon Ball Z had stupid-ass goofy moments that kind of tonally didn't fit with the rest of the series because he was always trying to get back there. And I think it's very ignorant to be like, I don't like the pure joy and optimism of silly shit, because that's what he loved. And so, you know, have the somber moment, but have a laugh too. I think that was how Akira Toriyama tried to make his stories, because that was the way he tried to live his life. And so I'm going to do my best to try and respect that and have a laugh while I reminisce about how much I appreciate his work. So with that said, thank you all for listening. Hopefully we don't have to have another one of these, like, a beloved childhood hero died episodes soon.
yeah, I hope.
I know the person who made the Tales of game series just died, which is sad. I didn't play those games, though, so I have nothing to say on that. But so you can financially support me on the Spotify for Podcasters app. Again, it was just so much smoother when it was called Anchor, but what am I going to do? Capitalism ruins everything. It works the same way as Patreon. You can donate a little bit every month. You can join the Cape Corner Discord. Keep updated on what's going on. Oh, I didn't mention last week, or not last week, but last episode, we were talking about Madam Web, and the entire fucking episode, I was referring to the second Spider-Woman, the one with the black suit. As fucking, God damn it, what was I calling her? It's another, it's the other J name. Shit. I can't even think of it now. Jessica Drew. I was referring to her as Jessica Drew the entire episode. And fucking Scotty is like, you know, it was Julia Carpenter, right? I was like, shit.
That's great.
It's go, not Scotty. Fair. It's not fair to me, man, because neither one of them has much of a presence in pop culture knowledge. And both their names begin with J.
Yeah. That's it's too close.
That's some dirty shit, man. Yes, Julia Carpenter was the Spider-Woman I was referring to, not Jessica Drew, who is the first Spider-Woman. But anyway, you can have such gems as that. One of me being embarrassed on the Discord. You can also suggest episodes if you ever want to hear about something specific. I swear next week we're going to get to Aang. We'll do it. Or not next week.
We're going to.
Soon. Whenever we reconvene. And you can follow me Beyond Blue 2 on Tumblr. I'm Beyond Blue on Blue Sky. I have not used Blue Sky in months, so probably just Tumblr. And even then, Tumblr fucking sucks, so it's like, I don't know, man. Everything sucks these days. They can follow you at Jordan Blue Man Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yep.
Including PayPal.
Wow. I thought it was stilted when I did it.
It was just because I made an account like last weekend because I had to pay for something. I didn't have one until last weekend. And they were like, I only do PayPal or cash. And I was like, I don't have nearly enough cash for
try to use PayPal as little as possible. Because Andy definitely used to just pay for a bunch of shit with PayPal, and they wound up doing a bunch of subscription charges on them. And, like, PayPal would not let us shut down the account. Like, would not let us stop having our money drained.
That sucks. Yeah, I've tried to go this whole time without making one. I've finally had to make one. I tried to if I'm going to send money over the internet, I try to stick to like Venmos and Cash App stuff.
But, yes, that's definitely better. Having a PayPal in and of itself is not bad, but they do horrendous business practice, so just be careful.
That's good to know.
Yeah. And you could also check out the Hall of Pods Podcast Network. It is the Fandom Optimists and the SJW Comic Book Club and True Believers of Comic Book Podcast and Movies to Watch Before You Die and the Replica Program. We should have a third episode of the Replica Program come out at some point.
Yay.
But because like we already did it. we spoke to Chanel Gray something. She has a hyphenated last name and I only remember one half. I'm sorry. Not that she's listening, but we spoke to her and it was a very funny episode because she voices a character I can't stand. But I don't have my computer right now, so I'm not editing the episode. I'm waiting on Mark to edit the episode, and he is not confident, and so he's just like not doing it right now. So we'll see when that goes out. But am I missing anything?
I don't think so.
I was considering ending it by like doing another slant on my normal sign off by being like, remember, we can all be Super Saiyans or some shit. But as funny as I think that would be, I do think that in his own way, despite the fact that he didn't want to be recognized as one, Akira Toriyama was a hero. He was my hero. So I do think it would just be appropriate to end off the normal way. So. Everybody, thank you for listening. Stay strong, stay true to yourselves, and remember, we can all be heroes.